Today, central bankers start fretting as Trump 2.0 rolls on. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Well, this post covering finance and property news. In an interesting alignment of timing, we had central bankers at the Fed, the Bank of Canada, and also the ECB, who will turn up later today, talk about their latest monetary decisions. And whilst it's expected the ECB will cut again, and in Canada they cut rates and announce the end of QT, the Fed is firmly on pause for maybe an extended period. But certainly, the implications of how President Donald Trump's policies in areas such as immigration, tariffs, fiscal policy and regulation was the spectre at the feast. As RBC Economics wrote, the US Federal Reserve says, thank you for calling, please hold, as it keeps policy rates unchanged and makes almost no adjustments to its recent narrative that inflation and the labour market are back to appropriate levels. Unlike the Bank of Canada's rate cut just mere hours earlier, which almost uniquely focused on trade conflicts, the US central bank seems to almost go out of its way to avoid mentioning any potential, however probable, policy changes from Washington, D.C. The Fed's emphasis is instead that starting places matter and the US economy is in a really good place. And Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell made clear on Wednesday that the US central bank tends to hold interest rates in the range of 4.25 to 4.5% for the foreseeable future. The committee is very much in the mode of waiting to see what policies are enacted, Powell told reporters, following the Fed's decision to leave rates unchanged. We need to let those policies be articulated before we can even begin to make a plausible assessment of what their implications for the economy will be. The strong performance of the US economy and the severe labour market also gives Powell and his colleagues room to hold off on future rate cuts. We do not need to be in a hurry, he said, an idea he repeated more than four times during the 15 minutes press conference. The pause is likely to create tension with Trump, who frequently pressurised the Fed during his first term to lower rates, and just last week said he knows more about interest rates than Powell. Actually, Trump rounded up his critiques of the US central bank after Wednesday's meeting. Jay Powell and the Fed failed to stop the problem they created with inflation, he posted on the social media website Truth Social. Powell downplayed some of the unknowns surrounding Trump's plans, saying that they would be cleared up in time. There's probably some additional uncertainty, but that should be passing, Powell said. It's a very large economy and policies affected at the margin, but we're going to wait and see. The Fed chief emphasized the US economy is in a good place overall and said the policymakers wanted to see further declines in inflation before cutting rates, adding unexpected weakness in the labor market could also prompt a move. Fed officials want to keep some downward pressure on the economy to ensure inflation cools to their 2% target. But a key question for policymakers right now is just how much interest rates are currently restraining activity. Actually, Powell said rates were still meaningfully above the so-called neutral rate, at which the Fed is neither boosting nor slowing the economy. But uncertainty over what exactly that level is gives policymakers some reason to take their time with future rate adjustments, he said. Officials have repeatedly revised up their estimates of this rate over time, and that's amid stronger than expected economic activity and robust productivity growth. Actually, Powell said, we know it by its works. We can't see it directly. The Fed chair said officials expect to see further progress on inflation as rent and shelter price growth cools, but stressed they'd be waiting for that improvement to materialise. When asked specifically about the potential for cutting rates at the Fed's next meeting in March, Powell reiterated that policymakers are in no rush to lower borrowing costs. He stressed that the Fed wants to see serial readings suggesting further progress on inflation. So taken together with comments from other officials in recent weeks, the remarks indicate that the Fed could remain on hold for some long time. In fact, investors see the Fed cutting rates twice this year, with the first reduction happening in June. That's according to futures contracts. Policymakers will update their projections on the economy and rates at the next meeting in March. But in Canada, the central bank cut the benchmark rate to 3%, and Governor Tiff Macklem made it clear that there's no obvious playbook if Trump carries out his threats, saying the central bank can't repair the economic damage of a trade war with the US, but he'll do his best to make it less painful as the central bank prepares for an unknowable and potentially severe economic event. A big increase in tariffs is a big disruption to the Canadian economy. Monetary policy can't fix that, he said. US President Donald Trump has threatened to impose tariffs up to 25% on Canadian goods as early as February the 1st. That would be a major hit to the Canadian economy, and high import costs would also push up prices. A trade battle, if it comes to pass, could mean that the economy will work less efficiently, Macklem said. Canadians still produce less and have lower incomes, and growth will be on a lower path. Still, Macklem said the bank can try to help that adjustment by making sure the economic shock is not more abrupt and painful than it has to be, and ensuring that the higher prices will only cause a temporary increase in inflation, and that comes down reasonably quickly. And he didn't rule out the bank acting to support the currency if it saw major dysfunction in markets. Policymakers said that they'll be weighting the downward pressure on inflation from economic weakness against the upward pressure of higher input prices and supply chain disruptions, meaning the bank could either hike or cut rates depending on which force is stronger. And actually, in an interview, Macklem said he expects to have more clarity on what's happening with tariffs moving forward and be willing to provide an update in the outlook or some additional written material in a February speech or the March rate decision as more details emerge. I don't think the first thing that is said is necessarily where we end up. This is going to be an evolving situation, and Trump does a good job of keeping everybody off kilter by saying lots of things. And while Macklem said he isn't yet seeing any evidence of major disruptions in exchange rate markets, he didn't eliminate the possibility of intervening to support the currency in that event, something which a central bank did during the Asian crisis back in 1997. Macklem was already worried about the country's weak level of business investment before the tariff threat emerged, but now he's more concerned. Uncertainty is high, and a trade dispute has the potential to further reduce the productive capacity of the economy. And Canada is starting from a situation of high household indebtedness, Macklem warned. Raising household indebtedness is not going to be the solution to sustainably increasing our consumption. Now, over in Europe, the ECB will announce its decision at 2:15 p.m. in Frankfurt. Lagarde will host a press conference 30 minutes later, and it's expected the ECB will lower interest rates for a fifth meeting as inflation is nearing the 2% target, but it lets officials further loosen the shackles of the economy. The hope is that easing monetary policy will breathe life into an economy finding it hard to grow, particularly as political friction unsettles consumers and businesses in the Eurozone's two biggest member states. ECB policymakers are balancing warnings that greater trade stress could dampen exports against lingering fears over services prices, which are still rising at twice the 2% goal. Officials have expressed diverging views on how far they're willing to go, suggesting there are tensions that soon may intensify. Doves include Greece's Yanis Stouraris and France's François Villeroy de Galles, and they're prepared to take the deposit rate to 2% by June, a scenario that hawks like Netherlands' Klaus Knot aren't currently willing to embrace. Lagarde said, "I will leave it to them to sort of anticipate and play that game of how many at what pace," she told CNBC last week at Davos. "My job as president of the ECB is to make sure that we apply the methodology properly, that we project as well as we can, that we take into account empirical data as well, that we use our judgment, and that we have to be very attentive to the rest of the world." First estimate of the Eurozone's fourth quarter performance will also be published just before the Governing Council concludes their discussions on Thursday. It's expected to show next to no growth due to declining output in Germany, and France's economy unexpectedly also shrank in the period, while Italy stagnated. Uncertainty is weighing on growth in the here and now in Europe, said PGIM's Catherine Nace. In an environment where firms could get slapped with punitive tariffs, it makes sense to delay investment plans. Weak investment, in turn, further weighs on Europe's growth potential, risking a kind of negative spiral. Meantime, Bitcoin expends its biggest jump in more than a week following the Federal Reserve's latest monetary policy meeting and comments from Chair Jerome Powell that touched briefly on crypto regulation. The largest digital asset rose to around 105,500. In response to a question about risks from digital assets, Powell said banks are perfectly able to serve crypto customers as long as they understand and can manage the risks, and added that a greater regulatory apparatus around crypto from Congress would be very constructive.
Hello, Chairman Powell. Mark Hamrick with Bankrate. As you know, in the annual report from the Financial Stability Oversight Council, among the risks outlined is cryptocurrency. Could you talk about those risks now? And regarding individuals and households, perhaps distinct from the concern about the financial system, do you worry that speculation in this unregulated asset class could hurt their financial well-being, or do you think it has a place in a household's portfolio?
You know, so our role with Bitcoin really is to look at, with crypto, really is to look at the banks, and you know, we think it's, you know, banks are perfectly able to serve crypto customers as long as they understand and can manage the risks, and it's safe, you know, safe and sound. As many of our, a good number of our banks, right, that we regulate and supervise, do that. You know, the threshold has been a little higher for banks engaging in crypto activities, and that's because they're so new, and, you know, we don't want to make the mistake. If you're making a choice to conduct that activity inside a bank, which is inside the federal safety net with deposit insurance, then you want to be pretty sure that it's a safe and sound activity. So, you know, we're not against innovation, and we certainly don't want to take actions that would cause banks to, you know, to terminate customers who are perfectly legal just because of excess risk aversion, maybe related to regulation and supervision. So.
And with respect to households and their inclusion in that asset class?
It's not really our bailiwick. You want people to be knowledgeable about the financial engagements that they have, and that's why we have, you know, the securities laws that we have. It's why, you know, if you read a mutual fund prospectus or a individual stock prospectus, you want households to have the chance to understand the risk that they're taking. And, you know, I do think it would be helpful if there were a greater regulatory apparatus around crypto, and I think that's something Congress was working on quite a lot. We've actually spent a lot of time, you know, with members of Congress working together with them on various things, and I think that would be a very constructive thing for Congress to do.
Those comments were a bit staid and measured, but come against a backdrop of heightened investor expectations of friendly digital asset regulations under President Donald Trump, who has tightly embraced the crypto sector. Bitcoin hit a record 109,241 ahead of Trump's inauguration on January 20th, but subsequently has slipped back. The token is still up over 50% since his election victory in early November, leading some to ask if the rally is due for a breather. Bitcoin's moves lately have been more correlated with US technology shares. As a result, the token may have benefited from a rise in the Nasdaq equity futures on Thursday, as investors digested corporate earnings reports. But standing back and all up, the zone of uncertainty has expanded, making it more likely central bankers will make policy missteps. And whilst the US economy still seems to be in fine fettle, despite sticky inflation, other countries, including Canada, the UK, the Eurozone, China, and even Australia, are facing into a teeth of a gale. Things could get very interesting. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.